You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with the 372nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons went down 19-13 up here in Landover, Maryland in the final minute. Quarterback Marcus Mariota is passing the ball from the 4-yard line and got tipped up by Deron Payne, and Kendall Fuller intercepted it in the end zone to protect the victory for the Washington Commanders. It was a hard-fought game. It was 10-10 in the at halftime there, and then Washington decided to run the ball, and they ran it up to 176 yards. Brian Robinson ran 18 times for 105. That was designed to keep the Falcons off the field. The Falcons had a shot there at 9:05, but then gave up. The line didn't hold, and they had to punt. Defense got a 3-and-out and got them the ball back. And they got it at 5:06 and went on the move. Two plays, Parker Hesse, another run by Patterson, and then hit Alameda Sakias for a 45-yard gain. And just like that, boom, they were on the 26, looking to score, knocking at the door. Get down to the 2 off of a penalty, and then Mariota calls a read option. Thought he saw the end going down the quarter rail. He didn't. The end dropped him in the backfield for a loss. Now you get, you know, I'm not a big fan of the pistol inside the 5 or the shotgun. You're taking the ball back and then trying to go forward. But, you know, people are doing that now. So they did that, went in the shotgun on the 4-yard line, tried to throw a pass when they'd been running it all day. So didn't work out. Ball got popped up. They lost. Falcons are now 5-7 after 12 games with 5 to go. Only consolation prize. You know, this was a big loss today because if they had the win over the Commanders, it got down to tiebreakers. You know, if they get in the wild card hunt, it would have been a big tiebreaker to have. They already have one over Seattle and the 49ers. But now, you know, probably the best, well, the only way really is probably to win the NFC South at this point. You know, maybe even you got to run the table to get to 10-7 to do that. But the Buccaneers lost today too, so they are 5-6. And the Falcons remain a half game out of first place with 7 losses in the NFC South. So let's get on to things here. Coach Arthur Smith, we're going to hear from him. We're going to hear from Marcus Mariota and Tyler Allgeier and Jake Matthews. And then we'll have some notes, take a break, mail back, player notes, and get to some defensive players, Grady Jarrett, Lorenzo Carter, and Arnold Ibikute. So let's get rolling here with Coach Smith. Here's what he had to say on the loss to Washington.
Disappointing to lose, and especially when it happens like that, D-Led. You know, our guys have always, it's a resilient group, and you got to give credit to Washington. They made a play at the end. Thought we had the look we wanted, and the guy tipped the ball up, and he caught it. So, fortunately, that's the way it went. But our guys understand, you know, it's always going to sting. But we're going to get, you know, you get back tomorrow, we'll get up and we'll get back to work and try to correct things and come out swinging because we got a big one next week against Pittsburgh.
All right, yeah. I would rather be in a full house down there on the 4 and let do some Woody Hayes 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Last thing, the old adage, 3 things can happen on the pass and 2 of them are bad. And we saw that today and the Falcons came home a loser because of such. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say on the play call of the late game interception.
And I'm not going to go on a scheme, but there's a lot of options on that play, Mike. And the way the Washington defender played it, thankfully Marcus was able to get out of it. And so you come back and we got plenty of time. We still had our timeouts, and those are decisions you make and you got to live with. And so like the look, but unfortunately the result, not what you're looking for. And I get hats off to their D-line. I mean, it wasn't like they tipped a lot of balls today and really didn't get a lot of pressure the way our line played. But they made one more play right at the end. And so, yeah, it's natural. You live with that. But that's part of coaching in the NFL. So, you know, you got to be ready to make the calls and give Washington credit. They made the play.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, he's the play caller. Here's what Arthur Smith had to say about living with the decision and on that play call.
It's an emotional game, and the easy thing to do is to, you know, look for some kind of excuse and, you know, whatever. At the end of the day, Josh, I mean, that's what you live with as a play caller. You like the look, but again, they had a say, and the guy tipped the ball. So, yeah, sure, you go back and you replay a lot of things that lead up to it. This, that, whatever. I mean, and ultimately, when you can take the emotion out, then you got to be as objective as you can be. And that's what we try to pride ourselves on. And like I said, unfortunately, we came up short. So you live with those decisions.
All right, Marcus Mariota was the quarterback there on that play. Got him down there, but didn't make the game-winning play. Here's what Marcus had to say on the play call that he threw the interception on.
Yeah, I thought it was a great play call. CP was open. Unfortunately, he got his hand up, made a play on it, and, bounced their way.
Yeah, well, here, Marcus again here. And if he can anticipate the lineman tipping the pass, because he sees them, do you pull it back? Do you pull it down? Can you anticipate that? Here's what he had to say about Deron Payne's tip pass.
It's tough, right? Like, you're keeping your eyes downfield. You're going through your progression and your read. Sometimes you can kind of feel defenders in your face, but it's hard to say that you're really kind of thinking about that in that moment.
Yep, he stuck with the call. Couple decisions down there. That one to throw that ball, and the one before that took a 2-yard loss. Led to the loss today. And no sugarcoating that for everybody. Marcus Mariota has made some plays this year, but he, didn't make some today when they needed it. Here's what he had to say on these losses and how tough they are as the games get bigger later in the season.
Yeah, it is tough. These games, as you're progressing through the season, get bigger and bigger. And, unfortunately, we didn't pull this one out. But at the same time, we got to bounce back and get ready for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Tyler Allgeier had another strong game for the Falcons today. The committee actually looked pretty good. Good to see they're sticking with it. Huntley comes in, gets a 12-yard run. Allgeier's running hard. Patterson's running hard. They still ended up with 167 yards rushing. That's how the Falcons got to move the ball. Here's what Tyler Allgeier had to say after the game today.
The one drive when everybody was rolling, he got 12, you had 11, CP got loose, quarterback got loose. That's what did that feel like for you guys to know that committee can still deliver?
Yeah, sure. I think that's probably our best drive, and I think really just having that, just feeding off each other. Hunt gets a good run, he starts it off, and then I go in, CP goes in, pops a big one. I think, just feeding off each other, and then just doing what we can do, just doing what we can do to help the team.
What's the mindset of the team after, you get down there to the two and weren't able to get across?
Yeah, mindset's a score, but it's just unfortunate. Like, just a great play. Great play, you end up tipping the ball, and then defense made a stop, and then just unfortunate with what happened on the punt. But we fought. I think we were in a good spot, but just came short. We'll learn from it.
What do you sense the mood of the team is? I know it's tough after a loss.
What do you say? Oh, say that again.
The mood of the team.
Yeah, shoot. Losing sucks. Losing sucks. I think that's probably the hardest. We want to win. we want, especially in the spot that we're in. But I think we still have a great chance. Still had a great chance to do what we do. And I think with this team, it's just a resilient group. You know, we're always in the fight, even just those chances, those slim chances that we might be out, but then we end up still being in it. So I think just taking it day by day. You know, we're learning from the film and then just get better onto the next week.
All right. Now, one of the players who was really, really distraught after this game was captain left tackle Jake Matthews. You know, Jake, it hurt. He wasn't, hiding that. He was frustrated with the loss and that, this was a tough one to take. Here's what Jake had to say about that, the emotion and being frustrated after this final possession.
Frustrated, there's no doubt. I mean, we had all the confidence in the world we were going to score right there. Got to give them credit. They stopped us at the end. We didn't get it done. It's frustrating, for sure.
All right, here, let's look at some game notes here from this one. Landover, I told y'all they were making stuff up here. I was going Landover early in the week. Then I just put Maryland in there. Then they started putting North Englewood. And then today they went back to Landover. There are two towns, North Englewood. I guess the stadium is in part of North Englewood. And on the sheet here, they have North Englewood, Maryland. But we switched our date lines back to Landover. I don't know why we did that. So I don't know if I'm in Landover or North Englewood. But it was Landover back in the day. So we'll let them fight that out. Game notes. The Falcons fell 19-13 on Sunday. The offense had 332 net yards, including 167 rushing. The offense has rushed for more than 100 yards in 10 consecutive games for the seventh time in franchise history, first since 2006. Falcons also eclipsed 150 yards rushing for the eighth time this season, tying the most such games through the first 12 games of a season in franchise history and the first time since 2006. Also, tight end Parker Hesse served as the Falcons' sixth captain today. And we'll do a couple player notes here so we're not just pushing all of those to the end. We'll do the offensive ones. Marcus Mariota finished 15 of 25 because we got mailbag questions today. Thanks for sending those along. 60%, 174 yards, one touchdown, and 77.8 passer rating. Marcus Mariota's 14 passing touchdowns this season are the most in a single season since he threw 26 in 2016. Marcus Mariota's 421 yards rushing on the season mark a single season career high. He also joins Michael Vick as the only other quarterback to rush for more than 400 yards in a single season in franchise history. Tyler Allgeier had 54 yards on 11 carries. Olamide Zaccheaus had 5 catches for 91 yards, including that big 45-yarder in the fourth quarter. He has 465 receiving in 2022, surpassing his previous high of 406 of last season. Mecole Pruitt, he had 2 catches for 9 yards, 1 touchdown. And that was his second touchdown of the season. So there are your some player notes and some game notes coming out of the Falcons' 19-13 loss to the Commanders. This is the Bowtie Chronicles podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we thank you all. We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We're going to welcome our executive producer, Daniel Solerson, in to help us with the mailbag questions you sent in after the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you can send them after every game. At D Orlando AJC is the way to follow D-Led, of course, for all your Falcons info. But also, if you want to tweet at him questions after the game, good news is we have some for you today, D-Led. The bad news is they're all pretty frustrated fans, which we sort of understand during this time as the Falcons lost to the Commanders. But we'll start with at BrentBaker20. He said, here's a question. Why throw the ball when we are averaging over 7 yards per carry? I think a lot of people are frustrated with the play call. We heard from Arthur Smith. We heard from Marcus Mariota. So I'll leave that question for you. Why throw the ball when averaging over 7 yards per carry?
Yeah, they said they like the look. I'm old school. I'm 3 yards in clouds of dust, so I don't really want to throw the ball on from the 4 yard line. I think that's a really bad principle. But they don't, and they like to spread people out. And they thought they saw something in the middle of that defense where he could throw the ball behind those tackles and get an easy score. Didn't work out that way. He's got to live with the call. Nobody's drawing up plays to not work. So, I'm not going to question them. I think you can question the play call in this instance. You are running the ball pretty good. And, hey, you got 4 shots. You got all your timeouts. So, your time's not an issue. Load it up. And they did on one play. They had Kiefer in there. Couple tight ends in there and just bang that thing going in there, but they must didn't like the fact that they couldn't really push these guys around. De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen are two of the best tackles in the league, so you kind of got to run around them. But they ran some toss sweeps early, and they ran Algier off tackle on that last third down conversion, so they had options, but they picked the one that called for Mariota to throw a pass, and that didn't work out so well.
Well, speaking of options, the next question is from Brady Fields at Shady_B_Rady. Why were there no looks to Drake London, who's been great in the red zone?
Well, one of the big plays was a 22-yard pass to Drake on 2nd and 25 after Pruitt had drew a penalty. And then Drake London got a ball on 3rd down that he dropped. So I don't know, maybe that drop screen pass made Mariota go away from him. I don't know. But, yeah, 6'5 target down there in the end zone. They're not, that's what you got him for, I believe. I don't believe he got any targets. Maybe it was because of the drop from earlier in the game.
All right, and the last question I have, I'm going to combine 2 D-Led because they're kind of on the same topic. And this topic has been the one that we've discussed, I think, every episode that we've had during the season. And, of course, that's Marcus Mariota. So Trayvon Savage at Trayvon Savage 2. Apologize if it's Trevon. And Kenny Dilliard at KLD2203. When do we draw the line for Mariota? And then the other one, why does Arthur Smith continue to put the ball in Mariota's hands when the game is on the line? So I'll kind of let you answer that in a 2-part question, D-Led.
Their quarterback, until they, I don't want to sound like a broken record, until they're out of the playoffs, he's going to be his guy. Now, we saw earlier in the season where they took the ball out of his hands and ran it 14 straight times. Maybe that's what they needed to do today. But they had to put it in his hands on the 45. They were on the 16. They had to get moving. And they hit on a 45-yarder to Zacchaeus. That's the same play he hit on against Cleveland, I believe, and the 49ers. But he was running to the other side and threw back across. But it's a catch-22. You knew what Marcus Mariota was when you signed him. He's a guy that's going to make splash plays. He's going to dazzle you. Then he's going to do some not-so-dazzling things. And today, with the game online, he did some of his not-so-dazzling stuff, where he threw the ball into coverage. He ran the ball, pulled it out, and ran into a tackle. Your best two players on this offense were Kyle Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson. So give Cordarrelle 4 times to pound the ball in. And if they stop us, then I can go home and I'm going to sleep easy. I'm not going to be worrying about some tip pass or anything. I'm like, hey, we loaded it up. We went after them, and we didn't get it. But I got 4 shots from the 2. Probably not throwing it. I'm definitely not getting in the shotgun.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see how they react next week when they welcome in the Pittsburgh Steelers. And next week, we'll also have another mailbag. You can follow D-Led on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. That's it for the mailbag this week. I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, Daniel. I'm going to finish up here with some of the defensive notes, and then we're going to hear from some of the players here from the Falcons here. The leading tackler for the Falcons today was Rashawn Evans with 13 tackles, 8 solo. He has a team-leading 119 tackles this season, career high for him, surpassing his previous best of 111 set in 2019. Mikael Walker had 9 tackles and an interception, 2 passes defense, and it was his second of the season and 3rd interception of his career. Darren Hall matched a career high with 7 total tackles, but he got the bad end of one of Brian Robinson's 16-yard touchdown run. He got low, but Brian truck-sticked him off and went on into the end zone there. So I know Hall's gonna figure out he's got to come in there with a little bit more bad intentions for these running backs because they're not, you know, going down. And, you know, but that he did have a career high with 7 tackles. That wasn't one of them. He missed that tackle. Now, inside linebacker Troy Anderson had 5 tackles, 1 for loss, and defensive tackle Grady Jarrett recorded 5 tackles and 1 quarterback hit. We got a story up on AJC.com talking about the run defense. You know, we said after the Carolina game, they should go and just get ready. People going to try to run the ball. And that's what Washington did today. And, you know, took 33 minutes and 9 seconds off the clock. We told y'all they were number one in the league in time of possession. Because Coach Ron is and Coach Smith are in the same boat. They got to protect their defenses. And so that's how they protected their defense, was by running the ball with Robinson, Antonio Gibson from Eagles Landing High in Stockbridge. And other back, Jonathan Williams, got some run. And Curtis Samuel got a little bit of run there, too. So not so much. Terry McLaurin didn't do too much today against the Falcons, but they were able to run the ball. So that was the big thing for the Washington Commanders. Grady Jarrett, let's hear from Grady on, what we need to be or how the defense need to be more stout in defending the run.
Too many missed tackles, I feel like. I got to run back, see the film, but maybe too much leaky yardage, you know, a couple mush plays I could have went the other way. And we just got to be more stout across the whole run defense, you know, whether it's D-line, you know, linebackers, however it may be. We could just be better, you know, even myself. Mm-hmm. So we just got to review this tape and get better.
Yep, no doubt. The other thing they want to, you know, it's tough when you look like you're getting ready to win. It's like you're down there, you know, you scored a touchdown, kicked the field goal, boom. 2019 W, nice playing right home. But it doesn't happen. You get the interception, now it's a bad playing right home. So, you know, it's a thin line between love and hate. It's a thin line between winning and losing in the National Football League. And Grady Jarrett said, hey, we can't sulk too long. There's still a ton to play for.
You know what? I mean, I can't lie and say it's not a missed opportunity because, I mean, it is. But at the end of the day, we still got life. We still got stuff ahead of us to be able to do and strive for. Because, you know, we went all the way to the end. We felt good about our chances coming into this game. And for it to go down how it did, definitely hurt and it's disappointing. But we got to go back to work. You know what I'm saying? And so we can't sit here and soak in this for too long because we got to get back to work. It's one of the losses where you want to get back, you know, on the field quick. You know what I'm saying? And get the taste out your mouth and be excited to play next week. So it kind of is what it is.
Yeah, and so, you know, wanted to kind of double cross check Grady with some of the other defenders. So, you know, talk to Lorenzo Carter about, you know, the defense and, you know, just a couple things about the run defense and how they're going to try to move forward. Here is Lorenzo Carter, Falcons outside linebacker.
You know, everybody just, you know, maybe playing a little stouter against the run and so forth. Look, they had it under control, then they started getting a couple on you.
Yeah, like you said, we do got to play stouter. We can't give up. Well, the big plays and the explosive plays, especially on the ground, that's something we've prided ourselves on the whole season. And we gave up too much this game.
Hey, I've been seeing this for a long time. 10 games come down to the last play this year. Just the Raiders, or just the Cincy and San Francisco game. And it's like, y'all gonna be in a game every week.
Yeah. Like you said, that's the NFL. That's what I let the young guys know, especially after these tough losses. You never know what play, which series, what play, what call. You got to take advantage of every opportunity because, like you said, at the end of the day, it's going to come down to one or two plays and maybe one score or less than one score.
Mm-hmm. How big was the stop? O had the ball. Y'all got the three and out to set them back up. How big was that stop for y'all? We scared y'all shot at.
That was huge, but, it wasn't a surprise for us. Mm-hmm. We know what we got to do, especially at the end of the game when it comes down to, it's nut cutting time. It's time for you to go play. Yeah, it's time for you to go make a stop. And I think we've done a good job all year trying to make sure that when it comes down to it, we make those stops. But earlier in the game, it'll make it a lot easier if we do them.
Right.
If we bow up and make those stops earlier.
All right. And one of the last notes here before we get out, Arnold Ebukati was coming home. He grew up in Silver Springs, during his U.S. part of his, upbringing, right outside of the D.C. area. And he was questionable for the game with a forearm. He left the game in the second quarters when we got the announcement, and I don't believe he went back in. So coach didn't have an update or didn't share the update. Because, probably doesn't go get it on purpose, so he doesn't have to share it. But the doctors know, they know who's hurt and who's not after the game. But now, the teams like to have the coach as the one spokesman. And so we kind of slow roll with the injury information. But we checked with Arnold and wanted to know how he's feeling after the game.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Just got to get back to treatment, get my hand back, and get my strength back. So, goal for me to attack rehab next week and go from there.
All right, no problem. Arnold's gonna just go from there next week and see how it goes as he tries to move forward here in his rookie season. He's really coming on, and they certainly need him. He gets a little pass rush and plays a little stout on that corner for the Falcons. So with that, we're going to, wrap it up here. The Falcons they're still in the playoff race. Just a half game back of Tampa Bay at 5-7. And somebody's going to have to win the NFC South. And, they might as well compete and try to do it and try to get to the playoffs. And, I think you learn more from winning than losing. Yeah, you mess up your draft pick. But, hey, the draft's pretty much a crapshoot anyway. Y'all see Zach Wilson doing his thing up with the Jets. And he was the number 2 overall pick just 2 years ago. So, being up high in the draft, no guarantee. The Cowboys got Michael Parsons at 11. So, you're going to find players wherever you're at. Hopefully you do. That's the goal. But, I think winning is more important than draft positioning. In the NBA, maybe tanking is okay, but – in the National Football League, this is the psychology of winning and reinforcing your guiding principles and how you're going to attack people and how you're going to defend people. You can do that a lot better winning. And you got a lot happier campers when they're winning as opposed to, people that are fighting uphill trying to get out the door. You want them out the door because you want to start over and get some better players in. That's where the Falcons are in this rebuilding. I was on the radio somewhere this week, and I was like, hey, you got it. Oh, no, I know. I was down with Bill Shanks and folks down in Macon. I said, hey, you got to give them credit for winning or at least being in the playoff hunt for last year. I think it was to week 16 in Buffalo. And this year we're going into week 12. We just finished week 12. We're going to week 13. Then they got a bye. So they might be in it all the way. It might come down to that last game against Tampa Bay. And given the handicaps, and you know, they won't fuss about them, but I mean, they are playing without $77 million in dead salary cap space. They're clearing the books. Next year they'll have money. Players that are here now are playing because they know they're going to have money. So there's going to be opportunity to you know, get a better contract here or even elsewhere. But, you know, the Falcons play tough. They played tough today. Came up a little short. You know, they have deficiencies, and you all know them. You know, probably throwing the ball wasn't your best move with the game on the line, but that's what they did. And maybe one day when they get the you know, quarterback who can do that, that'll be a great compliment to this rushing attack that they're building and can only get better with. So with that, we're gonna get out of here. We're gonna wish you all to have a good week. This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Take care and have a great week.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.